In this Cherry Leaf podcast episode, we're going to look at artificial intelligence and chatbots in technical communication. We are going to be publishing a blog on this on TACOM's Intelligent Information blog. But if you'd also like a PDF copy of the article that this podcast is based on, do email us info@cherryleaf.com. But before we start, we've had some correspondence, not from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales, but from a Mr. Thomas Johnson of Amazon Lab 126 in America, who tweeted that I have a pleasant voice and the podcast has good content. Thank you for that, Tom. I also swapped some emails with Tom, and he was saying he liked the episodes we've done, which were individual podcasts where we haven't spliced in other recordings. Thank you for the feedback. If you do have any comments or feedback on the blog, we really do welcome them. Again, if you email info@cherryleaf.com, then that helps us understand the types of content, the format that you prefer. Just a little bit about Cherry Leaf. I don't think we've mentioned much about what we do so far in the podcasts. We're a technical writing company, so we work with software companies to write documentation, give them advice on what they should be doing with their end user documentation. And we also place contract authors and permanent authors, and we train technical authors. And in a slightly different area, we help organisations outside of IT who have policies and procedures, and we take their existing content, fill in the gaps, organise it, make it so that content as well is clear and easy to understand and easy to find. So let's start the podcast. Let's get into the topic, which is artificial intelligence and chatbots in technical communication. It seems very likely that artificial intelligence, or AI, and chatbots, particularly chatbots that are driven behind the scenes by artificial intelligence, are going to become more and more popular. Amazon, Facebook, Google, IBM, Microsoft, and a number of other smaller technology companies. There's lots of companies doing development work in this area, offering solutions. But what does it mean for technical communication, the way in which we assist users when they get stuck? What does it mean for technical communicators? So let's start, as it were, by a part one and address what are chatbots. So a chatbot you can see as a service where people interact with an application via a chat interface. In some situations, you ask questions using your voice, asking a machine about information, and it then responds that way. In other situations, you type using a chat interface of some sort. And generally, the style in which you speak and the style in which you write is in the same way that you would write or speak to a human being. It's more conversational. And often the chatbot itself will respond in a conversational style as well. So it can give the impression that you are talking to a human being. And depending on what requests you ask the chatbot or the artificial intelligence system, it will carry out responses, actions for you. So you might ask it to order something for you, and it places that order, and then a short time afterwards, that order would arrive. These chatbots often run inside popular messaging applications such as Facebook Messenger or Slack, and you also see them work in conjunction with text messages, SMS. And what it does, rather than you ask a question about a piece of information and it taking you to a website, often it gives the answer to you whilst you stay within that instant messaging system within that chatbot. This is a broad generalization, but it's one that's put forward by people like Chatbots Magazine, that there are two main types of chatbots. So the first are ones that are mainly driven by a set of rules. You design your chatbot by looking at what specific questions or commands a user might ask, and then you provide answers to respond to those questions. If the user doesn't use the right commands or words that it's been programmed to do, then often, generally, it doesn't know what you as the end user mean by that. The second type is more sophisticated. It uses machine learning and artificial intelligence to provide the best response to a user's question. And what we'll do is we'll call those AI-powered chatbots. So what these do is they can understand written language, English language, spoken language, as well as specific commands. So these types can manage questions outside of the predefined commands or words. They understand the way in which we speak normally, natural language, and they also have the ability to learn from the interactions it has with people, so that if it doesn't provide the best answer, it can provide a better answer next time. It can get better at predicting users' needs. And again, it often has this facility of chatting away as if it were a real person. The other things it can do is it can store and categorize information that it receives from each interaction. And it can assess information to identify which information from the amount of information it's looking at to provide the best answer isn't of value or is of value. And equally, the information that the end user provides, which bits are relevant and not relevant to identifying the specific problem that the user wants to solve. And it often knows where to store that information so that it can access it in the future. Now, in reality, there are chatbots that aren't as rigid as the first type, but not as flexible as the second. But in broad terms, there are two categories. And in this podcast, we focus on the AI-powered chatbots, the ones that can interpret and carry out more complex requests and deal with more complex tasks and questions that might happen. So when would you use a chatbot? Or how are chatbots used? And at the moment, they tend to be used for a single purpose. And that makes it easier for the people that are developing the chatbot to scope it, to develop it, to manage it, and to create something at a reasonable cost. There are two other features I should mention about chatbots as well that makes them different. Generally, there is this conversational user interface, a CUI, the way in which you as an end user interact with it. And as I said, that can be text-based or based on us speaking with our voice. And the other thing is they generally have a way to poll and source answers from different sources and in a variety of different formats. But let's look at some use cases of where chatbots are used today. So this one is an example that's used by Maruti Tech Labs. And it's the example of you wanting to book a hotel room and that you interact with a chatbot to help you do that. If a user asks, are there premium rooms available on a particular date? The first type of chatbot, a rules-based type of chatbot, might have a set of predefined rules to be able to go in, look on a particular date, see the availability of a room in a hotel, and reply and say yes or no, there is a premium type room, level room available on that date. But let's look at another situation. The user asks, well, are there any alternatives? Are there any cheaper rooms that are in hotels that are closer to the airport? Now that question's more complex. The chatbot, the system, needs to understand more nuances in the language. The question might be, are there cheaper rooms closer to the airport? And it needs to understand, where is the airport? Which airport are they talking about? Where is the user base? Which location are they at the moment? How much does each different hotel charge for a room? What's the availability of the rooms in those different hotels, and so on? So for that more sophisticated, more complex question that requires the system to go and do more as well, like go and search more than one hotel, look at the geography of the hotels, the location of them as well, you'd need an AI-powered chatbot to be able to give a relevant answer. Another popular area for using chatbots is to direct customer queries and to answer queries that people might have automatically, deflect that call going to a support person, a human being. And this type of thing has been talked about since the 1980s. I remember doing on my degree a little bit on Bayesian probabilities and being told that we would all be interacting with systems when we got ill, and it would give us information saying, well, there's a 90% chance that you've got a cold or you've got something more serious. And a lot of the triaging of people who were ill would be done by automated systems rather than us having to speak directly first off to a nurse or to a doctor. And today, AI-powered chatbots can now reduce the complexity of finding and delivering the right piece of information to a customer's question. And recently, this year, there's been an announcement in the press about Do Not Pay, which has been described as the world's first robot lawyer. And in The Guardian, there was an article recently in July, I think it was, saying that the chatbot's being extended to cover, I think, 10,000 more queries or situations, legal situations. And you can use it for things like if you're a refugee and you want to fill in an immigration form to get into the United States of America or Canada, it can guide you through the complexity of filling that form in. And equally in the UK, it can help asylum seekers in the UK provide the right information, do that in the right way. And BI Intelligence reports that chatbots will contribute to cutting customer care costs by up to 29%, and that chatbots are starting to be used to handle initial customer queries and deflect calls that, again, otherwise we would have to answer by customer support staff. Another area, employee onboarding. AI-powered chatbots can also help new starters, new employees, as they join a company and help them understand or learn about the IT systems they're going to be using, the documents they might need to use, the policies and procedures. And there is a company called Obi that specializes in chatbots in that area that provides, in a conversational manner, answers to questions that start with who should I speak to, what should I do, how should I do things. And it's aimed at covering company operations, and it draws in information that's stored on Google Drive, in Salesforce, in Evernote, to find the right answer from all of the information that exists within an organization. So another use case is one I've mentioned already, and that is that chatbots provide a new user interface, a conversational user interface. And one of the experts in this field, Crewe Saunders, has predicted that more and more of us will be using our smartphones, talking into our smartphones, asking it questions, and then getting answers back. Rather than going to a website or an application, we speak to our phone. And we know already, instead of browsing the Amazon website, we have the ability to have a conversation with Amazon's Alexa devices, to find a product that we want, to order it. And Alexa might converse with you in the same way that you might with a shop assistant in a retail store. So the interaction, the relationship can be different from searching the Amazon website. It can be more interactive, more natural, as it were. And tools like Alexa in the future will be able to provide personalized recommendations and assist you as you go through that purchasing process. Because it will be able to draw upon and connect you to existing data, your purchase history, your profile. It'll be able to confirm that you really are who you are. Although there have been some situations where these systems have been tricked or spoofed by not being able to differentiate between one twin and another, but potentially it can be there to identify or confirm your identity as well. This obviously means if we have a device like this, that there's a different relationship between the device and us in terms of our privacy. And if we do have a device like this always ready to speak to us, then is it always listening in, eavesdropping on our conversations? So there are implications around privacy as well that we as end users may need to think about, and that may affect the take up and adoption of these types of tools. Now, related to that is that chatbots may appear to replace applications. That if we're speaking to Apple's Siri or Amazon's Alexa to get the answers, and if Siri and Alexa is giving us the answers that we've asked for, that we say, can you book a meeting between me and Fred Bloggs or Frieda Bloggs on a certain date, and it does it, or can you purchase these train tickets for me? We think it's Alexa that's doing it, doing everything, or Siri that's doing everything. When in fact, what these chatbots and what these AI systems are doing is sitting on top of existing applications, encapsulating them. Now, this may mean that on our smartphones, on our laptops, we see fewer icons for applications because we don't need to access them directly, that we will engage, interface with those through a chatbot, through an AI system. But they'll still be there. They'll still be there in the background to do the work, to fulfill orders, to store the information that these systems are accessing. In the world of technical communication, how could it be applied in that area? Well, one area is personalized user assistance and personalized help. AI systems are good at routing users to the right piece of information, finding them the right hotel, finding them the new starter, the right information. And that type of approach is relevant to end user documentation, as it were, user assistance as well. Today, we have AI-powered chatbots available that can be used in applications to onboard end users or provide product walkthroughs specific to a particular user's situation, the product they've purchased, the configuration they have. By them being able to understand the context in which a user is doing something or using the information that they have asked for, we're able, as developers, as of information, through these systems to personalize that content. So we can adapt or change or personalize or customize that information based on the product the person's using, their location, the time at which they're asking it, their user profile, their past behavior, the questions they've asked in the past, other environmental factors. Such a system could also predict how likely it is that a user would want to need a particular piece of information. If the content's written well, and by that I mean written semantically in a good way, we could also see the system remixing information, changing it and adapting it, reorganizing information to different orders to provide the best answer. Now, that's not likely to be the rewriting or reordering of sentences, but more taking data from data sources, data from metadata, and inserting that as if it were variables in sentences to make it the right response for the, or the best response for the end user. So it may be that somebody asks a question and we say, this is a bug fix, it's bug fix number 1234. Or information or whatever they've asked will be provided on a certain date. If they're asking, when will my delivery be ordered? And we might see in journalism articles written about football scores that are drawing data from systems that say how many goals were scored, what the result was, when a goal was scored, that type of information, creating very basic information based from data extracted from a database. Now, one of the people that have reviewed this article that's going up onto the Take-On blog, Kai Weber, has also looked at aspects relating to this, and he has a blog post on the Intelligent Information blog site. I'll put the link in the show notes. The title of it's From UA Reloaded amplify the intelligence of your users and your company. And in that, he describes in some detail how it's possible as technical communicators that we can tap into the semantic wiki, the semantic information that's out there in the public on the web, to contextualize it and find the right information, drawing on metadata and tags. What about troubleshooting? Could we use chatbots and artificial intelligence to help a user when they get stuck? Is this another use case for us? It's really another application of intelligent routing, of where a customer's got a particular query and we find the right answer for them. It's a way of reducing the amount of calls to support, giving them the right answer. It's true that chatbots can ask users some initial questions, maybe 2 to 4, and then from there suggest maybe one help topic or 2 help topics, the ones that are most likely of all the information that's out there to solve their problem. It may have some intelligent routing to start guiding you through actually fixing that problem within the application itself. And if the chatbot can draw on contextual information, by that I mean things like the person's purchase history, the previous support calls, their location, then it will be able to provide a better, more accurate, more targeted response, certainly compared to the user just searching the web based on keywords for the right information, the right answer to their questions. Some others have talked about a use case of what Ann Gentle called a number of years ago, the guide on the side. You could also see this as performance support. And Christoph von Thoma, who we talked about in a previous podcast, his presentation at UA Europe, has argued there's an opportunity to provide an equivalent to Microsoft's Clippy, that we can go back and reinvent Clippy, but this time do it properly, this time get it to work. And that this type of system, Microsoft Clippy version 2.0, let's call it, could provide personalized help and intervene when somebody is using an application, and whenever there's an opportunity for the user to learn, provide information to help them. You're doing it this way, actually there's a better way to do it. Now this may happen, it may be ambitious. From the research by John Carroll into minimalism, the general experience has been that usually readers of help text, users of help text, are using it to solve their current problem. They don't like to be talked at that moment. They want to get on and do the task they're trying to achieve. So that's just a general description of what chatbots are. So let's move on to part 2. Let's look at making a chatbot. How could we build a chatbot? Most chatbots work on a model of 3 things: entities, intents, and responses. This is really the way in which they're built. The entities, that's the thing the user's talking about. Intents, that's the question the user asks the chatbot. And the responses, that's the answer that the chatbot provides. So the entity might be a booking at a hotel. An intent is the desire to book, and the response is the answer the chatbot provides. Yes, there's a room available. No, there isn't. In the responses, the chatbot is identifying the right answer, the right response, the most appropriate response from its repository of answers, its predefined responses in its repository. So it's selecting, it's picking the most appropriate answer based on the entities, based on the intent, based on the context in which the question is being asked. And this repository of responses is often limited, confined to some linguistic building blocks, but it's able to draw in structured information that it can mine from elsewhere to fill in gaps, to add sections, elements, information, I should say, to the answers it's giving. Okay, so creating a chatbot that uses artificial intelligence, let's look at that. These systems are using machine learning and what's called natural language processing to look at the text or the voice question that somebody's asked and interpret it, to understand it, and to then go and find the right answer for you. Now, these systems, these machine learning systems, the AI systems, there's also developments happening to manage and understand visual information as well. Understand images, understand faces, understand who somebody is, if somebody is emotionally happy, if somebody's emotionally sad. Companies like Amazon, Google, IBM, Microsoft, and smaller other companies all offer machine learning platforms that you can subscribe to and use to power your company's, your own AI-driven chatbot. So natural language processing, what's that? Well, that's really the process of breaking down sentences into components and understanding, processing the semantics of the content within those sentences. Machine learning, this is where the system uses a body of content, a corpus, to retrieve the right answer, the correct answer for the user. The more information the machine learning system has, the bigger the corpus, the better the answer it will get. So often what these systems do is they work with publicly available open source repositories such as structured Wikipedia content to get as big a massive repository as possible. And these systems use linguistic pattern matching to find and score the information in that body of knowledge, in that corpus. And as it responds to questions and get feedback on the quality of the answers it's provided, it then learns and continues to improve the responses it gets. And this is why it's called machine learning. The machine is learning from its responses. To help the machine learn, when you're developing your chatbot, the way in which you begin generally is you will have subject matter experts to train your chatbot. And generally this is done by uploading questions and answers, pairs of questions and answers. So you upload a set of questions a user might ask, and you upload with that the answers that are the right answers for those questions. And this enables the system to check the results of its learning for accuracy against the real world. Now this is called the ground truth, the question and answer pairs. And the system can apply its learning to any new information also that's added to the corpus or through user feedback. So we need to feed these bots with this information. Platforms such as IBM's Watson can process a corpus of unstructured data. This means if it contains relevant information, you can use unstructured content that you might find in articles or blog posts to help the system learn. But you do need really structured content when you develop the system. You do need these question and answer key pairs. So let's move on to the third part. What does this mean for technical communication? What does this mean for user assistance? Well, the move of some of the user assistance content, the help content, the support content into chatbots provide a threat or an opportunity for technical communicators. So we mentioned there's this exercise in designing and training the chatbot. And building a chatbot is less of a technical issue of needing programming skills, but actually more of a user experience challenge. There is an opportunity for technical communicators to get involved at that stage in the designing and training of the chatbot. Technical communicators, technical authors, as they're called in the UK, technical writers, as they're called in the States, often know the end users and their needs better than nearly everyone in the company. But often this knowledge and expertise is not, organizations don't take advantage of it. But there is the opportunity to take that knowledge and understanding of the end users and the skills in technical communication to design from the beginning and train these chatbots in the best way. There could also be an opportunity with the gathering of the corpus. It makes sense for chatbots to be a channel for existing technical communication content, rather than us or anyone having to rewrite content and put that in to the chatbot. So as a technical communicator, to help that, you should be writing your content in a way that it can be used in the deliverables you're providing today, in the help, in the web pages, and also in the chatbot. So we should be writing in a way that that our content can be transformed, can be used in the chatbot. So there are people like Val Swisher of Content Rules, who's been blogging and saying that technical authors, technical communicators, should already be thinking about gathering that corpus, curating it, and creating these ground truth pairs ready to train the chatbot. If we do this type of work now, if we start this early, then we're less likely to find our competitors have got in there first and done it before us. And there's the opportunity to start experimenting with chatbot and AI platforms. Platforms such as Amazon Lex or Google TensorFlow or IBM Watson. You as a technical communicator, or if anybody is interested in using chatbots for supporting end users, can look at schemas such as the AIML, Artificial Intelligence Markup Language, or EmotionML, Emotion Markup Language. And there's benefits from looking at schema.org as well to get a sense of the type of key information that you would see within a structured document. Now, this could also help with discovery, help technical communicators discover other relevant information that's hidden away within their organization or elsewhere as this corpus is built up, information that they should know about that's been written by others. And there is a benefit from having structured content. The chatbot will perform better if the source content maps well to the chatbot's information, internal information structure that's using for processing user questions. In a previous podcast, we interviewed Mark Baker on his blog, Every Page is Page One. He has written about this. He wrote that structured writing turns content into data that can be verified and processed by algorithms. By combining well-constrained markup languages containing the right structures for the job with the right set of algorithms, you can generate all kinds of content and do all kinds of useful validation. And I'd also like to mention something written by Joe Gelb, whose company offers a number of software applications related to technical communication and artificial intelligence. And he wrote that the answers may already exist in your technical product content. All that structured and intelligent content investment that has until now been masquerading as PDF and online help can be transformed into personalized answers. With the right strategy, taxonomy, and semantic delivery mechanism, you can feed those bots efficiently and effectively and serve up those personalized answers, building engagement with your customers in the process. Ideally, a lot of the chatbot's underlying semantic structure will map to your existing structured content. So if your content is structured, it has metadata, it uses a taxonomy, that will help the chatbot know which piece of information to serve to the end user. So metadata like the product, the symptom that of the problem that the user has, what's happening, the specific cause of that symptom, the version of the product, the type of user, the operating system, all that type of metadata can help refine and improve the answers the system provides. And today we can think about what an AI-powered chatbot would want from our system when we're writing and developing any new information design models for the content we're providing. If we're building a metadata model, a taxonomy model for our help content, we can think about what would a chatbot's system want. Can we make sure the model we build will address that requirement? So your contents that you're writing today is AI chatbot ready for the time when it's needed. Now, this might result in a change in the way in which you write. It might mean that you write at a more granular level. With chatbots using this question and answer key pair approach to their ground truth, then we might see, or we could see, that come through in the way in which we write topics or chunks of text. So that we have topics that contain specific answers to specific questions with metadata around them to describe the context in which this answer applies. We can mark up content using if and then tags to manage content that's specific to certain conditions. And the chatbot system can look up that conditional content to determine, is this information right for this user's current situation? At this level of precision, we could see and deliver documentation as an API. And that is something we've talked about on the Cherryleaf blog, and there are developments in that area. One is with Twilio. They are working on a documentation API for code samples for their API reference documentation. And the idea is that if somebody's in Slack, that there will be a bot in Slack. And if a user types something like lookup.py on the Slack command line, the Twilio bot will then provide the answer, which will be a message containing a code sample for the python.py, that is, development environment. Making documentation available as an API means also users have the ability to create their own documentation, personalize it. We've blogged about this on the Cherryleaf blog. I'll provide a link to that article, that blog post, in the notes as well for this. Another potential consequence of this for technical communicators is it could make content creation and management easier. It might make it easier to write content. In fact, we might have some content prepared for us by chatbots. Joe Goldner has predicted a future where we have AI automating things like the linking, the formatting, the indexing, the tagging, the coverage checking, the consistency of terminology based on algorithms. And one way of thinking about this is if you use tools like Jenkins or Alfred to automate some of the more dull and less exciting activities you do in your day-to-day work on a computer, that it's like that, that it will reduce the amount of repetitive manual tasks that we have to do. But then could AI write the content? Could it write the content as well? There has been some research into the potential for using AI. I mentioned earlier that there's potential for doing basic reports on things like sport event results. That's one area. There has been some research by students at Southern Connecticut State University on the potential effect of AI on different writing roles, different writing professions. And again, I'll provide a link to their research. From their research, what they've concluded is that what they call robots will be doing, again, the more menial writing tasks, data-driven reports, things like obituaries in newspapers, quarterly results for companies. But they're of the opinion that where you need content that's more sophisticated than just the reporting of basic facts, that you'll still need a human, that if you're doing that type of writing, you'll still be needed for the next 50 years. However, one consequence of this may be that we need less online help, that the information that we deliver today in a format of an online help file or a web page, that that content is actually delivered via the chatbot or by an automated voice or some other form of intelligent agent. The consequence of that would be for technical communicators that they would write the content still, but they wouldn't do the way in which the content is delivered. The information design, the information formatting, that presentation layer, even perhaps the organisation of the information, the sequencing of it, that may be something that's now done by the chatbot itself or by the people that are managing and organising the chatbot. To avoid this, then it may be the case that technical communicators will need to get involved with chatbot development and learn and know how to apply the skills they have in information design in the chatbot, in the AI system. So what can we conclude from this? Well, let's summarise where we are. This growth, these developments in AI-driven chatbots suggests that there'll be, in the future, a personalised user experience, something that's more fluid, and that it will be one of the ways, possibly one of the most effective ways, that an organisation will be able to deliver content that's contextually aware, contextually right for that user. I asked a number of people to look at this post that we're putting up on the TACOM site. Thank you to Chris Ward, to Keith Shankly-Roberts, to CJ Walker, and to Kai Weber for their feedback on this topic. Kai pointed out that the changes by chatbots towards structure, taxonomy, metadata are also coming upon us as technical communicators because as a result of other developments as well, that we may have to deal with these regardless of the growth of chatbots. Things like corporate content strategy, the need to create, to deliver content delivery portals, to deliver cloud applications, also is directing us as writers to make sure that we do have a good taxonomy, good metadata, a good structure. So this means technical communicators can start today by making sure their content is in a structured format, in a format that's suitable for an application to do this machine learning. That you can get your content ready today for use by chatbots at the time that's needed. I think the other thing we can conclude is that there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for technical communicators to get involved with the designing and training of the chatbot. Now, this will probably mean that some new skills will need to be learnt, but it'll also mean we'll have an opportunity to apply skills we already have. If you'd got any thoughts on this topic, let me know. You can email us, info@cherryleaf.com. As with other podcasts, the notes and links will be on the hosting site for the podcast, cherryleaf.podbean.com, P-O-D-B-E-A-N. And in that, we'll provide a link to the article that's going to go up onto the Intelligent Information blog post. We'll also make this article available as a PDF. Again, if you email info@cherryleaf.com, we can send you a copy of the article. Thanks for listening.